Dan Sheridan, bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. And this is number 29 in our Scripture 101 Essentials series. And we're asking the question in this portion of our series, who is Jesus Christ? And we're going to talk about his God and Father today. That's right. Did you know that Jesus Christ has a God and a Father? Well, we'll be talking about that. But just want to give you an update. I am in the town of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I am at the Vista Inn and Suites there as I am making my way to Florida. And got in here last night around 10 o'clock and did some studying, reading, wrote this show, and here I am recording it this morning. And I have a wonderful privilege today. As I leave here, I'm heading to Chattanooga to meet with Tony Smith, and I should arrive in northern Florida sometime tonight and then make my way to my final destination tomorrow. All right, let's get right to it now. We're talking again about that Jesus Christ has a God and Father. Now, remember this, God's will reigns supreme, and Christ carries out God's will. And this is the foundation of the universe. God's will reigns supreme, and Christ carries out God's will. Anything less than this would destroy the foundations. Now remember, God doesn't have a God. He wouldn't be God if he acknowledged someone greater than him. Here's the simple fact. Anyone who has a God isn't God. Right? Very simple. Anyone who has a God isn't God. Now remember what we've learned throughout this series. There's only one God as to fact, many gods figuratively. Christ is the chief of these. The figurative gods are called gods because they represent the one true and living God by performing certain delegated functions. That's why they're called gods, but they're only gods figuratively. So again, God doesn't have a God. He wouldn't be God if he acknowledged someone greater than him. Right? The simple fact. Anyone who has a God isn't God. This means that Jesus Christ isn't the God. Listen to our Lord's words in Matthew 27:46. I have to keep in mind that a lot of you people may be new to this. So let me repeat that last sentence. Anyone who has a God isn't God. Which means that Jesus Christ isn't God. That might be a shocker to you. If it's a shocker to you, you haven't listened to the previous 28 programs, and I suggest you start there. But these are facts. Now, I want you to listen to the words of our Lord Jesus in Matthew. Turn to Matthew 27:46, and here's what we read. Now, about the ninth hour, Jesus exclaims with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why didst thou forsake me? Solemn words. He uttered those words from that cross, the cross of Calvary, where our Lord provided salvation for all mankind. And by the way, those words, my God, why didst thou forsake me, could have never been said by God. God could have never said those things. God could have never said, my God, why did you forsake me? Remember, God doesn't appeal to anyone above him, but Christ did. God can't be left into the hands of his enemies all alone. Christ was. God can't die. Christ did. Now remember, Christ represents God in many ways, but we also said that in the last audio, if you listen, that the ways in which he doesn't resemble God are just as important as the ways he does resemble God. These differences, these contrasts, are clearly on display at the cross of Calvary. The differences between God and Christ are on display on the cross of Calvary. Here we have on the cross Christ crying, my God, why did you forsake me? Here we have Christ dying for our sins, things that God can't do. God doesn't appeal to anyone, and God can't die. Now, one of the great titles of God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of God's greatest glories. He loves to be known as the God and Father of the one he loves so much. He loves to be known as the God and Father of the one through whom he demonstrates his love to all mankind. He loves being called the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about Christ? His greatest glory is that he carried out his Father's will. And he loved to appeal to the Father. He loved to acknowledge God. You see the contrasts? God is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. He isn't some generic deity. He isn't the man upstairs or anything like that. He's not the big guy in the sky. He's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has revealed himself through his mediator, and he reveals himself as the justifier and vivifier of all mankind through the work of the Son. That's the Father's will. The Son obeyed his Father's will. The Lord Jesus has made the Father happy. Now, Christianity and religion present God as a relentless avenger who hates people. They present Jesus as the weakling who pacifies this reluctant God who doesn't really love people, but Jesus steps in and saves them from an angry God. Nothing could be further from the truth. God planned the redemption of mankind. The Son of God carries it out. The whole drama of the eons is meant to magnify God's love for humanity. Now let's listen to the delight of our Father in the following passages. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 we read this, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of pities and the God of all consolation." In Ephesians 1:3 we read this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ." Colossians 1:3, "We are thanking the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying concerning you." And in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 to 28, we read this, "For since, in fact, through a man came death, through a man also comes the resurrection of the dead. For even as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class, the first fruit Christ, thereupon those who are Christ in his presence, thereafter the consummation, whenever he may be giving up the kingdom to his God and Father, whenever he should be nullifying all sovereignty and authority and power, for he must be reigning until he should be placing all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy is being abolished, death, for he subjects all under his feet. Now, whenever he may be saying that all is subject, it is evident that it is outside of him who subjects all to him. Now, whenever all may be subjected to him, then the Son himself also shall be subjected to him who subjects all to him, that God may be all in all." We have God's will, and we have the Son of God carrying out. The evangel of grace makes the distinctions between the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's God and there's Jesus Christ. If you don't have the distinction, you don't even have an evangel. This is how essential this topic is. Well, I want to thank you for listening. I have got to run, heading out to Chattanooga here shortly to meet Brother Tony Smith, have a little fellowship, and then down to Northern Florida tonight. I'll be reporting from there next time. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God through the correctly cut and correctly translated scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.